Well, well, here we are.
How can we love our country and not love our countrymen?
I have really nothing to, how do you answer that?
I feel like I'm taking crazy pills!
Hello, do you speak English, sir? Parlo usted inglés?
All right, people, we're going to try something a little different today.
We are a nation that has a government, not the other way around.
Don't mess with the bull, young man. You'll get the horns.
I cannot solve your problem, sir. Only you can.
We, as Americans, have the capacity now, as we've had in the past, to do whatever needs to be done to preserve this last and greatest bastion of freedom.
Discussing the issues that actually matter. Finding the answers using logic and reason. KLZ 560 presents Rush to Reason. Now here is your host, John Rush.
And I'm your host, John Rush, Rush to Reason, KLZ 560. Thanks for joining us today. I do appreciate it very much. Myself, Andy Pate, Charlie Grimes, and sun's trying to shine.
A little bit.
We need that.
Now, you don't like the rain as much as I do. I have been loving it. All this free water.
I'll take it.
It's been great.
I'll take it.
I'm actually getting mushrooms in my backyard, which is kind of weird.
No, after last year's fire season, we'll take it.
Yes.
Not complaining one bit.
Really quick, before we move on here, where do you think we are for rainfall this year versus other years? It seems a little heavier, a little earlier.
Well, I know that, and I should be tracking this better. I apologize. Normally I do.
Yeah, you should.
I will tell you that there most of the Colorado areas, especially the Front Range that have been under the drought advisories in the past, those are now gone.
Okay.
So we've gotten enough moisture this winter and now spring that those have diminished or gone away at least. So that's a good thing.
It's pretty out there. It really is. Corey and I, we went for a drive last night, and it is so green and so it's not Ireland, but it's so green in so many places. It's really nice.
I don't know. It's pretty nice.
I know.
I'll take it. We tend to forget, and I'm reminded of this, quite frequently. We live in a high desert area where it was not green originally, Andy.
No. Absolutely not.
We are spoiled. We have changed the quote-unquote landscape and climate here because it was not green at one time.
Climate change.
We changed it.
Well, yeah, whenever you urbanize an area, you're going to draw more. But, that's okay.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
There's one downside, though.
Humidity.
Bugs.
Humidity and bugs.
Yeah, when I moved out here from Wisconsin, this is literally 40 years ago, okay?
Okay.
And I moved out here, I was 17. The thing that shocked me the most, John, is where are the bugs?
Mm.
I could not believe it. I lived up in Loveland, and I couldn't believe it. There are virtually no bugs here.
No, we don't have too many.
Now we have
spoiled.
Some.
Yeah, still not that many.
No.
All right, yesterday's impossible question. Okay. Answer is, the average American does this about 5 times a week. What is it? They research something online they didn't mean to research in the first place.
Sure they didn't.
Yeah.
No, it's probably true. I don't know.
5 times. Yeah, it's probably about right. Yeah, it's average. Today's impossible question. Answer this on the Rush to Reason website. In the recent survey, 13%, not a high number, by the way, 13% of people under the age of 24, it's not a high number, by the way, but 13% of the people under the age of 24 have never done this before.
Said the Pledge of Allegiance. Actually, it'd be much higher than 13, wouldn't it these days?
Actually, probably would be.
I hate to say that.
Yeah, it's sad to say. Probably true. Yeah. In fact, there's a lot of things people under 24 haven't done. But answer this. There's, a selection of different choices you can put in there. You can actually get the results of what everybody else is thinking. And I'll answer that tomorrow when we start the program. So answer that question on the RushToReason.com website.
Okay.
All right. In today's episode of Rush to Reason, we got several things in store for you today. As I said yesterday, Kevin Flesh will be joining us at 4:30. We'll talk a lot about COVID masks, what can employers do, what can businesses do, all those different things we'll talk about. In this first hour, Julio Rivera was going to join us here in just a moment. We're going to talk about unemployment benefits and, what's going on and why are people not going back to work. Andy and I were talking a little bit about that prior to coming on air today. Julio will join us in a few minutes and we'll talk about that. James Carafano from Heritage will join us at 3:30. And we're going to talk about the Homeland Security nominee and how that individual really is not qualified to be the Homeland Security, head.
Not even close.
Not even close.
And by the way, if we can take a step back for a second,
sure.
I just want to throw my bias out there. There are three reasons that are put out for why people aren't going back to work. And I just want to tell you, I agree with two of them, and I think one of them is total bunk. So we'll get into that later.
Okay. Hour number two, by the way, David Radlow is going to join us. We're going to talk about the jobs reports being weaker. And again, Andy and I talked about this even on Friday. I really feel like it's part of why we've even had some infighting between the White House and the CDC and other organizations as to opening back up. Because, frankly, if the White House had their way about it, we would not have opened up. But I think the economists and the folks inside of the administration realize that if we don't get some things open back up, this jobs report's going to keep looking like this indefinitely.
Before we go to break, I must ask you a question, Mr. Consultant.
Hmm?
What would the jobs report look like right now without the red states?
Oh, it'd be dismal.
Oh, my gosh. It'd
be even worse.
Oh, way worse. Who would be hiring?
And it still isn't good.
No, it's terrible.
And
it was
again,
75% down from projections.
And here's my – we'll talk about this again here in a moment with Julio as well, but we'll talk about it right now. My feeling on this is while a lot of folks think that there are those in the administration that are not very wise, and that's why we've kind of been down this path that we're going down, folks, it's not quite that simple, and there are people there that actually do know – data and they read it. Whether they choose to acknowledge it or not is another thing, but they know the data is there. And trust me, they're able to look at the data from the red states that have opened up to see what their job numbers are like and what the economy's doing and how well things are going and so on. And then they're able to go look at a place like, oh, Colorado, for example,
yeah,
and say, wait a minute, what's going on there? And they soon realize that we've got to get something pushed out to where these states, because of us and us being the feds, because of what we're kind of advising, knowing that these guys are only going to do what we tell them to, we've got to finally, you know, loosen the reins, if you would, or these economies in these other states are never going to come back.
Okay, next question. If we look at the recent mask order from the CDC and from Biden, which was ridiculous, but let's say we look at that and we look at Polis lightning it here, does any of that happen without the success blazed, that trail that was blazed
no.
by places like Texas, South Dakota, and
no.
Florida?
No.
I'm serious, John.
No.
We owe our national freedom.
Yes, we do.
To really three or four states.
You are correct. You are exactly right. Because without that, no, we'd still be sitting where we were.
And I believe we're going to have to look at some of the governors of those states possibly comprising our presidential ticket in 24. Because they're going to be able to look back and say, we led you out. We led you out. They did not. They followed.
I agree. At 5:30, we'll talk more about that as well with Mike DeGrandis, and he's going to talk about Governor Baker of Massachusetts and some of what he did there in regards to a lot of the things that we're talking about. So it's sort of going to be a COVID day, if you will. Why? Because it is at the top of everybody's mind right now. A lot of you are out there with masks off. You're going into different places. You're trying to figure out, do I wear a mask? Do I not wear a mask? If I don't wear a mask, am I going to get yelled at? I don't want to be yelled at. You know, I don't want to be that guy. But on the same token, you don't want to wear one. And by the way, I think there's a lot of individuals that work at these places that are, A, not wanting to wear one any longer either. So when somebody does walk in without one, even though they may have a store policy against that, in other words, they have a store policy saying you need to wear a mask, some of these folks aren't going to say anything because they're tired of wearing them too.
Right. Absolutely. And that's what I've been experiencing. You know, I went to Sam's Club, Corey and I, we went to Sam's Club, Safeway. We did not wear them. Sadly, less than 5% of the people there were like us, which is really ridiculous because you don't have to wear them. But nobody at those stores gave us any problem. They were all totally nice. You could tell they had been coached to be nice.
Yep. One last thing before we take our break and we go to Julio. President Biden released his 2020 tax return yesterday. His gross income of $607,000 puts him squarely in the top 1%. By the way, this is a tally that Joe sent me. Incomes above $540,000 that liberals hate with a passion, and his net taxes paid of $142,000 translates to an effective tax rate of 23.47% of that gross income. Joe says, I wonder if liberals will declare that figure to be less than his fair share and demand that he start paying more. Of course, they won't because they're liberals and they idolize guys like Joe. So, no, they won't say anything about it, but I get the point.
Right. Fair for me, not for thee.
They're a bunch of hypocrites.
Totally.
Is what they are.
And by the way, you know, you and I have always mentioned one last thing, charity. How much do liberals help others?
Very little.
Very little.
Very, very little.
Incredibly little. You have a few who are out front there, you know, Bill Gates and people like that. Of course, he's doing a lot of charity to his ex. But, I mean, these people...
Sounds like he's been doing some charity to some other folks besides the ex as well, but that's another story.
Apparently so. But I will give him credit. Hey, some props. The guy has given a ton of money to some good things.
His foundation has, yes.
Sure.
And there's a lot of things he's done that I think are very evil, but we'll... Another day. Another topic, another day.
Another day.
All right, Julio will join us in a moment. Extreme Auto Repair coming up next, folks. Get that vehicle maintained. Make it last longer. I've been saying it for a while now, and it's still true now. That vehicle you're driving is most likely not depreciating much, if any, right now as we go through this lack of cars. Let's just say that. Lack of new cars has pushed used car prices up. And I've got some other stories maybe this week later that I will share that I think is going to keep it that way. We'll talk about that later. But get to Extreme. Get that vehicle taken care of, maintained, repaired, whatever it needs. Don't forget they've got Cooper tires at cost as well. KLZradio.com is where you find them, or 303-841-1071.
Go with your gut. You know when an estimate from a mechanic doesn't feel right. Maybe they're telling you to fix a bunch of stuff you didn't even know was broken. Maybe their prices seem surprisingly high. The team at Extreme Auto Repair in Parker will give you a second opinion for free, so you know what's reasonable and what's not. They can typically beat the prices of their competitors, but they won't hold it against you if you decide to go back to the first guy. Either way, you have the peace of mind. The team at Extreme Auto Repair wants to keep you safe and keep your vehicle on the road longer, but they never want to pressure you into repairs that you don't really need. So with every estimate, the team at Extreme Auto Repair will give you a priority list showing you all of your recommended maintenance items in order from the most to least important. That way, you decide what you want to take care of now and what can wait until later. Free second opinions at klzradio.com/extreme. Promises kept.
All right, Bruce Simmons is next. He is our reverse mortgage specialist. And what does it take to qualify for a reverse mortgage? What's the income and credit needed? Honestly, I have a foggiest idea. You got to call Bruce for that. I really don't know. That's what you call him for. And what happens with all of that equity? Well, it doesn't go away. How much of it can you pull out? You have to ask Bruce. Again, I don't know. How does the interest rate part of it work? Again, I don't know. Ask Bruce. He can answer all those questions and a lot more. Here's my point, folks. If I don't know the answers to those, most likely the guy in the cubicle or the neighbor next door doesn't either. So instead of going off of what they're telling you, ask Bruce.
You know, one last thing I like about Bruce, he doesn't make me feel dumb, even though I am.
Yeah, you spot on.
Yeah.
100% correct.
He has all the answers, but yes, he's nice.
Yes. So if you've got a question, which I know a lot of you do, call Bruce today and just ask him directly. KLZradio.com is where you find him, 303-467-7821.
A reverse mortgage with Bruce Simmons puts more money in your pocket. One of the common misconceptions Bruce hears about reverse mortgages is that they're too expensive. But here in the Front Range, chances are good your property value will keep going up even after you get the loan, which means your overall equity may actually increase over time instead of shrinking. Plus, you get the benefit of using a portion of your home's value now instead of waiting until you sell the house. Best of all, FHA reverse mortgages are non-recourse loans, which means they're guaranteed by the government. So no matter what happens to the housing market, as long as you keep paying taxes and insurance, you can never lose the house or pass on debt to your heirs beyond the value of the home. A reverse mortgage puts more money in your pocket. Ask Bruce Simmons now at klzradio.com/reverse. Personalized reverse mortgage expertise. NMLS number 409914. American Liberty Mortgage is an equal housing lender.
God. Country. Reason. Now back to John Rush.
All right, we are rounding up Julio as we speak. We'll get him online here and on air here momentarily. And again, it's myself, Andy Pate, today. Charlie Grimes, your engineer, of course. And for those of you that are maybe getting close to the end of the day, you know, one thing we don't do enough, Andy, is thank people for the job they do and the fact they do keep things rolling along. And those that are actually working right now and not collecting unemployment, thank you very much.
Yeah.
We appreciate it.
Every time you go out to eat, it can be Taco Bell.
Thank you.
Be very grateful that person's not sitting at home collecting a check.
Yes.
They're busting their tail taking care of you.
Yes. Thank you, guys. And I mean that sincerely. There's a lot of you out there. I see you. You know, I try to do this even as best I can when I'm at some place and I'm getting waited on, because right now staffing is short because of some of the things we're going to talk about with Julio
right.
in just a moment. And so those people that are busting their hump to make sure that I'm taken care of, I'm always the first to thank and say, you know what, I really appreciate what you're doing. Thanks for being here. And you know, Andy, you're the same way as I.
Yeah.
If you really see them going that extra mile, you will reward them monetarily.
Oh, yes.
Through tips, correct?
Big.
I know I do.
Oh, yeah. I always throw down 30,
40. I want to make sure they know that, yes, I'm very thankful for everything that's, you know, basically for everything that you've done for me right now, and I'm going to reward you for doing so.
Yeah. We went to Artisan Pizza, the conservative mm-hmm. place out in Parker that, by the way, absolutely does not require masks,
nice.
Folks, and delicious pizza. We went there. The girls treated us fantastic. I threw 40% at them.
Nice. Good job, Andy. Good job. Julio Rivera joining us now. Julio, how are you today, sir?
I am fantastic.
I appreciate you joining us. Editorial director for the Reactionary Times, and you're also a columnist in Washington Times, Toronto Sun, Epic Times, and many, many others. I appreciate you joining us today. You've been with us before, and so welcome back. But, you know, let's talk about, and Andy and I kind of opened up the show today really talking about these, you know, the how should I say it? The unemployment benefits that, like here in Colorado, are still going on that I do believe are hindering people going back to work. Now, there's other folks out there that would argue with me and tell me that, no, that's not why people are not going back to work. But, Julio, I think that is one of the reasons they're not.
Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't agree more. Last year was particularly egregious when they were sending people an additional $600 a week. You know, the people basically stood to make more money not working
right.
than they did going out and trying to actually obtain work, which was really hard to come by. During that time, you know, even if people could find work, it was very limited, the choices, and you probably would make a lot more money just sitting around at home. But they're continuing this far too long. I mean, I think that Biden, by re-regulating several industries, is killing job opportunities for America.
Mm-hmm.
I think entrepreneurs and people who would be investing into creating jobs are not going to be doing so now that we know that the Democrats are probably going to wind up using reconciliation to try to pass a package of new tax increases. You know, these things work against economic growth and they work against the job market. You know, never has it been more polarizing between Democrats and Republicans, the differences that you get economically when you change administrations. You know, there was a time when the Democrats weren't these, you know, unabashed socialists.
Right.
They were, you know, hell-bent on trying to destroy the American economy. And you can actually work with them because they were somewhat reasonable. Well, right now, I think anybody who would be looking to invest in America and create jobs is probably looking at better options overseas, and that's where all the jobs are going to go.
Yeah, Julio, I was going to ask you about that. I mean, what is the cumulative effect of what they're doing here if they're making it so expensive to hire an American worker, right? Because they can make more sitting at home because of the $300 a week extra. Plus, you've got all these Democrats wanting to jack up the minimum wage, which jacks up other wages. Plus, you raise the corporate income tax. Aren't we just going to see a lot of businesses saying, man, I'll make my stuff overseas?
Yeah. And I mean, that's basically what we had under Barack Obama for a lot of years.
Mm-hmm.
Trump, you know, I mean, he came in and said he was going to remove two regulations for every new one that was added. At one point, it was as high as 22 regulations being removed for every one that was added. And I think for his entire administration, I think it settled somewhere at around 7 removed. But that was still very good, and I think America was poised to come back stronger than ever should Trump had won, actually, or had he gotten credit for winning. Let's put it that way, John. You know, because, I mean, if you look at some of the chicanery involved with the election, obviously we can make the argument that President Trump really should still be the president of the United States. But, you know, I think that, you know, Biden from day one, you look at his executive orders killing American energy independence. You look at him attacking other industries, you know, via this fake, phony climate change religion,
yep.
making it way too hard to do business in America. And in Texas is a great example of that. They're doing basically a two-pronged attack against Texas. One, killing the energy sector, and two, with this open border, you know, I mean,
right.
some of the lower level, you know, employment, you know, is going to a lot of illegal immigrants that are just pouring into the country, you know, with no restraint.
Right. And along those same lines, Julio, you said that, you know, not only would they take jobs overseas, which, by the way, I agree with, but the one thing, too, that I think we need to start talking more about, because, you know, I'm a business owner. I know how this works. If it gets to the point where your labor costs are high enough that you cannot recuperate that, which everybody also forgets. Every business out there recuperates their cost increases, expenses going up, no matter what they are, whether it's the gas and light bill, taxes, or what they're paying an employee, that will get passed on to the consumer. So at the end of the day, we all just pay more for what we get, and it's inflation at its best, Julio. But on top of that, what we also look at as business owners is, where can I eliminate someone and automate? You know, is there a machine out there that will do what this individual is now doing for me? Which, by the way, I don't have to worry about being late. I don't have to worry about them calling in sick. I don't have to worry about giving them COVID pay. You know, I can go down the list, Julio, of what a machine will do that a human will not do. And if we're not careful, we will push more and more industry into doing more things automated, which, by the way, just eliminates jobs in the future for good.
Yeah, it most certainly does. I mean, you know, you can look no further than the fast food industry. I mean, they can program machines, you know, to go ahead and take orders. They can program machines to go ahead and flip burgers. One
right.
thing you know for sure is a robot is not going to spit into your Big Mac. So,
right.
You know, in a lot of ways, maybe it'll wind up being embraced, unfortunately. But these are supposed to be lower-level jobs. These are supposed to be entry-level
Correct.
Opportunities.
Correct.
For just going into the workforce. These are not jobs that are
They're not careers.
Anyone's career.
Yeah, and I think we need to continue to focus on that, especially as conservatives, because if there's anything I continue to hear, and I've seen it even in some of our local publications here, Julio, is nobody can live in Denver at $15 an hour. Well, Julio, nobody expects you to live in Denver at that medium wage of $15 an hour. If that's all you're making, you need to figure out a way to make yourself more valuable to an employer and make more than 15 or get two or three jobs to be able to do whatever you need to do. Nobody said that working at McDonald's, and we always pick on them, nobody said working a fast food job, let's say it that way, was going to be a career. It's meant to be an entry-level job that gets you to the next spot. It's a stepping stone is what it is. It's never meant to be a full-time, long-term employment.
Exactly. You know, I started working when I was 15 years old at a pizzeria making about, I believe it was $5.50 at that time, was around what minimum wage was. You know, my daughter right now, who's about to graduate high school, has actually just been promoted to an assistant manager at her local Chick-fil-A. And she's making, you know, obviously more than I was making at that time. But, you know, she's getting ready to start college courses in the summer. You know, she's not looking at Chick-fil-A like this is her ultimate destination, and I don't think anybody else should either, whether it's that, whether you're working lower-level labor jobs in construction or anything like that. I think the problem is for too many years, I think politicians on both sides of the aisle have sort of
yes.
appeased the Chamber of Commerce
yes.
by allowing, you know, a lot of this illegal immigration labor.
Yep.
They go ahead and are too fast to allow, you know, large swaths of visas for temporary workers, and then these people come into the country, they finish their job assignment, but they never leave.
That's right.
And they go ahead, they pick up other jobs, you know, whether it's under the table or what have you.
The majority under the table. I'm in one of those industries, Julio, where I compete against what you're talking about, and that's exactly what happened. And you're right. It's been a problem on both sides of the aisle for far too long. And again, we always pick on the fast food industry, but we could go to anywhere where we're talking about, you know, entry-level jobs. With one caveat I want to add to that, though, Julio, and that's this. If you have the desire to work for a, let's say, Chick-fil-A, which is where your daughter's at, and your desire is to someday either own a Chick-fil-A or be a branch manager or something along those lines, you know what? If that's your desire and your goal, then you've got to start at the bottom. You've got to be able to wait on customers and make chicken sandwiches and do the things that you need to do. And as time goes by, if that's really your goal and you make yourself valuable and you learn, pretty soon you will be one of those managers making a pretty decent wage. So if you want to make a career out of it, you can. My point, though, is the left always points to the person, you know, the single mom working a $15 an hour job as a career, and we are somehow supposed to feel bad about all of that. And by the way, my heart goes out to everyone, Julio, no matter what their circumstances in life are. But on the same token, I'm not the one that's there. I didn't put myself in that position, nor do I need to be the one as a taxpayer to bail them out.
Exactly. I mean, I couldn't agree with you more. You know, it is, you know, ridiculous, especially when you consider where the profit margins right now lie for those businesses. You talk about Marsha Blackburn just going to the floor of the Senate talking about the Biden surge. The cost of everything has gone up.
Yep.
From the bun for that chicken sandwich to the chicken to the distribution, you know, getting that food to the store. Everything is going up, and they can only raise prices
That's right.
So much before people say, hey, why am I going to go to a fast food restaurant
right.
if they charge this much when I can just go to a regular
That's right.
restaurant? And
That's
then
right.
You're going to see restaurants get eliminated. You're going to see jobs get eliminated. It's a job crusher. Everything related to economic policy from the left right now, is it almost seems like they're either
yep.
so ignorant and so bad at it that they're going to destroy
right.
the economy because of that, but I think they're doing it willingly. They want to do it. Is really, they want everybody subservient and dependent on the big, large government structure, much like you would have in a communist country.
Got it. Julio Rivera, as always, I appreciate you joining us, Julio. I know you're tight on time. I appreciate you taking time today, and I know we had to adjust some things to even get you on, and I appreciate that very much. I want to honor your time. And again, folks, if you want to find Julio, just type his name into Google. You'll find him all over the place. It's Julio Rivera. Just look for him at Reactionary Times or The American Thinker or PJ Media or Newsmax or wherever. Julio, thank you so much. You're always welcome back anytime, sir.
Hey, God bless. I look forward to talking to you.
You bet. Appreciate it very much. We'll come right back. And I think we've got James Carafano joining us here in just one moment. So don't go anywhere. Franktown Firearms is up next. They were with us yesterday. And right now it's 1 day wait to buy a gun is all. And one of the things Franktown is going to focus on here in the not too distant future is how to take some of the young people that are out there. And I mean young people, not teenagers, but people that are really, you know, kids in their youth, 6, 7, 8 years of age, and teach them about how to honor a gun, know what's there, know how to take care of it, know what to do if you find one. Those are some of the basic things they're going to teach even some of the very youngest of individuals, which, by the way, we do that. We'll have a lot less issues down the road. So, Franktown, hats off to you for doing that. Find them at, again, 720-770-7777 or klzradio.com.
Preserve your liberty, protect your family, and have fun at the same time. Everyone at Franktown Firearms has the same goal: to fire off some freedom seeds safely and confidently. That common goal builds relationships based on shared values and mutual respect, which makes Franktown Firearms one of the few places you can preserve your liberty, protect your family, and have fun at the same time. Because they maintain good relationships with suppliers, treat customers with respect, and offer lower tax rates, Franktown Firearms continues to sell guns and ammo at or below MSRP. But they don't only want you to buy a gun. They want to see you develop confidence through practice. Fill out the contact form now at klzradio.com/franktown for $50 off your initiation fee, plus your first month free. Range members, first responders, and military veterans receive discounts in the shop, as well as discounts on all classes. Franktown Firearms, where friends are made.
John Rush will give you the confidence to grow. Every single one of the businesses coached by John Rush made more money last year, and most of them are either moving into larger facilities or expanding to add new locations, because all of them chose to move forward aggressively rather than letting fear hold them back. John Rush will help you take the emotions out of your decisions, starting with the way you manage your employees. Send him an email now, john@rushtoreason.com.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
All right, and we're back. Myself, Andy Pate, Charlie Grimes, and we're trying to get James Carafano on with us here in a moment to talk about the nominee for the Homeland Security chair.
Well, while we're waiting, can I make a point that
I want to make?
Okay. You know, there are three reasons people say that people are not going back to work. Number one, of course, are the huge unemployment payouts. Number two are all the schools that are still closed, you know, because
that's child care.
Yeah, that's
right.
Child care.
Okay.
But number three, and this one is total garbage, it's because people are afraid of COVID.
Yeah, I think that's
they're terrified of COVID. John, what a lie. What trash. That is spin put out by the left. Here's the bottom line.
I agree.
If you didn't have these big unemployment payments, if you weren't raking it in, staying at home, right?
You'd have more incentive to go.
Are you telling me these people wouldn't be at work? Yes, they would.
They would be. No, you're exactly right, Andy. All right, Jim Carafano joining us now. Jim, welcome back to Rush to Reason. How are you today, sir?
Hey, great to be with you.
I appreciate you joining us very much. So let's
awesome.
Talk about the nominee for the Homeland Security chair, head, whatever you want to call him. And it's Alejandro. I don't know how to pronounce the last name. I'm sorry, Jim.
Alejandro Mayorkas.
Mayorkas. There we go.
Is that right, sir?
It is.
Okay.
All right. What are the problems that she has and why she should? What, really, she's not qualified to do the job, is she?
You talking about the Secretary of Homeland Security now, who's a guy?
Correct.
Okay.
Alejandro.
So here's the deal. This is really interesting. And I've been dealing with the department since it's created, and including I had two turns on the Homeland Security Advisory Council. He was in the department before. He was the deputy under, under Obama, and so he was completely familiar with all the border policies and what the issues were. Absolutely knew what would happen if they changed the policies on the border, and he was briefed on that again during the transition by the not the political people, but by the professional people in the department. And so the crisis that they're having at the border now is completely predictable. And on top of that, when he actually had a hearing, he either couldn't remember or didn't know answers to very basic questions.
Or purposely
forgot.
Actually,
I think, misled people about the answers.
Yeah.
Hey, Jim, would it be fair to say that Mayorkas, his only purpose at this point is to stonewall and cover up while his administration facilitates a full invasion of our country?
Yeah, I think that's completely fair. Yeah. This administration has literally abrogated virtually every law that has to do with border security and immigration enforcement. And the Secretary of Homeland Security has completely and faithfully implemented that agenda. I don't. That's actually not up for debate.
Andy, by the way, I think you hit it spot on. And Jim, you did too. Everybody knew coming into this administration what was going to happen if you change things at the border. And the reality is, it was even talked about prior to Biden being elected what he would change, and all he really did was fulfill the promises he gave everybody on that end.
Well, you know, I think what's interesting about that is this all may have been very predictable, but this is not at all what Biden talked about during the campaign. Matter of fact,
of course not.
They didn't talk about border immigration really much at all. Matter of fact, the one time in the third debate when he actually brought it up, he got castigated on it. And this is actually, I don't think, an issue Americans voted on. I mean, when you look at actually all the polling and everything else, maybe you didn't like the orange hair and the tweeting or whatever, Trump's border policies were actually not an issue of debate. I mean, most Americans actually liked them. So the president, Biden, came in office without a mandate to change all this. And if you look at the polling now, and which is really interesting, when because you have mainstream media and all the pundits and everybody else trying to avoid it, and the administration is saying there's no crisis or whatever. So everybody is telling people, you know, nothing to see here, just keep moving. His policies are completely underwater. Two-thirds of Americans think that he is wrong and Trump was right. And these are even people that voted for Biden and would vote for Biden again.
But I think the one thing those people forget, and maybe it's because we do this daily and we watch it and research it and so on, Jim, but that may not have been Biden's actual policies, but these are, in fact, policies of the Democrat Socialist Party that is in existence today and have been for quite some time.
Absolutely. If you look at the key operatives who are running this policy, they are Obama mainstream progressive operatives who have links to the most liberal, radical, pro-open borders groups you could imagine. They're literally in the White House telling everybody in the federal government what to do, and everybody in the federal government is either doing that or they're being marginalized or fired.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Jim, is it also safe to say what we're watching is for the children Marxism? And what I mean is this. They say, number one, we are not going to turn away any unaccompanied children. They're not going to be returned to their home countries, and we're not going to split up families. So aren't they just turning every overseas kid into your ticket for your family to come here, legally or illegally?
Absolutely, and many people are even coming without children and staying in the United States. And
I identify as children.
You know, the reality is most of the unaccompanied minors are like 16, 17, 18 years old.
Right.
So they're actually young adults, and they're actually not going to stay with parents or whatever.
Correct.
They're just going to come here and they're going to get a job. But the administration believes and that this is a permanent constituency. And if you look at the open borders policies, it pairs up with what was called HR1, SR1, which is the federal takeover of the election system, which would make it very, very difficult for anybody who is resident in the United States, who is not a citizen, to prevent them from voting and you know, getting, they'd never be prosecuted. And then that pairs with their amnesty bills. They literally want to give everybody who's here in the United States the right to be here. So if everybody is basically can be here as a non-resident citizen and they can all vote and absolutely get away with it, then I think they own everything forever. But this isn't, look, this is an unsolvable situation they created. This is not just about Central America anymore. The entire world is shifting mass migration to the United States.
Mm-hmm. Right.
On every continent, people are figuring out how can we get people to Latin America and they can walk into the United States.
Mm-hmm.
This is not like, oh my God, you know, wasn't that a terrible couple of months? This is not the tsunami. This is like the first little tidal wave before the giant tsunami that sacks you. I mean, we could wind up with tens of millions of people walking into the United States, every one of them demanding housing, every one of them demanding free health care, every one of them demanding a job.
Mm-hmm.
And this administration has put policies in place to actually ensure that
right.
over American citizens.
But, Jim, what is this doing for the voter base of the future? Aren't they creating a one-party nation? Because all these tens of millions of people coming in have absolutely no loyalty to the Constitution or to this country as formed, and all loyalty to the political party that allowed them to come in.
Yeah, what's the problem?
Yeah.
That's the plan.
Yeah, that's their plan. You're correct.
I mean, look, this isn't conspiracy theory.
No, it's
the
truth.
You can look at these legislation. Mm-hmm. They've been presented to Congress. They're in black and white. Amnesty bills, take over federal elections, prevent actually checking to see if people who are voting are citizens.
Right.
These are facts. This is not some crazy guy with a tinfoil thing on his head hiding in a basement.
No, to your point, these are, in fact, to go along with that, Jim, all I continue to read now is, I read a blurb either last night or this morning where essentially the media now is, of course, accusing, you know, Republicans and conservatives in X amount of states of making voting harder, which, in fact, we know is not true. That's a very false narrative. In fact, it's a flat-out lie from the media when they say these things, but yet that's the narrative they're pushing, and they're going to try to get every American to believe that.
Well, yeah, and most Americans actually don't agree with them. Overwhelmingly, Americans think, for example, that voter ID is completely appropriate. But what's stunning and shocking here is not that they're doing this, not that Americans hate it, but that they lie over and over again as if they're in some third world dictatorship and they can do this and pay no price. And we could go through innumerable examples of out just literally falsehoods. And just one example, Secretary Mayorkas in his hearing said, oh, well, you know, we had a lot of minors in custody, but we actually don't anymore. Well, that implies that, oh, the problem solved. Look, all they did was they moved those people from the custody of the Department of Homeland Security, Health and Human Services. The federal government still has them. And the reason why they don't have big numbers is because they're doing throughput faster. So actually what they've done is actually they're encouraging more illegal migration. They haven't dealt with the problem. But he clearly stated as if they had solved the problem. That I mean, I can't call it a lie because I suppose absolutely factually is correct, but he was misleading the senators of the United States Congress. And he did it repeatedly over and over and over again. Or he said things that, like, well, I just don't know. So, for example, they said, well, you know, you're taking in all these refugee claims because Trump was so mean because he actually made people process their claim before we let them in the United States. You're taking all the, matter of fact, they're taking in 7,000 a month refugee claims. They said, what percentage of people actually qualify for asylum? And he said, I don't know, which was a lie.
Yeah.
Because they do know. And the reality is of the people that made a claim on the southern border, and the standards here are the same as they are from everywhere else in the world. They're not harder. They're the exact same standards. The approval rate was about 1 or 2%. 98% of the people that showed up just wanted asylum claims, but they were just economic, looking for jobs. And he knows that, and he lied to Congress and said that he didn't know that.
Well, Jim, I mean, obviously, look, he's a corrupt man. He is there for a corrupt administration. He's there for one purpose, a cover-up. Let me ask you this going forward. Could we see, though, amongst legal voters, the European shift? And what I mean is this. In Europe, the left invited in the Muslim refugees by the millions because they wanted them to swarm in, help them vote left-wing, and that they would totally take over the voting apparatus as a result. The problem is many who were on their side previously shifted to the right, and what we've seen in recent years in Europe is a surge of the right as a result, as a reaction to all this. Could we see some of that here?
Well, the Europeans also basically adopted policies almost identical to Trump to secure their border, which is why their their border flood virtually disappeared.
Right.
Look, I do policy, not politics, so I don't know. But look, there's two realities here. One is Americans hate Biden's policies; they just do. And the other is you know, reality has this horrible way of intruding. When you do failed policies, they fail. They failed under Obama, they failed under Bush, and they're failing under Biden. On the other hand, when you do policies that work, because under Trump we had a secure border mm-hmm. and we had a credible legal immigration system and immigration enforcement. When he did that, it worked. The border was secure. The number of illegal immigrants in the United States significantly declined. Unemployment dropped significantly. Economic productivity rose. The burden on taxpayers evaporated. Trump's policies worked. Mm-hmm. The progressive policies don't. I mean, it's just that simple. If you put different people in office that you do different policies, you're going to get different results. And because we're never going to really change the laws, because, you know, Congress is in a deadlock on this, and they're never going to agree to either making these laws super more liberal or super harder. It's just not going to happen. But it doesn't matter, because under the law, and Trump showed this, the president has all the authority he needs to enforce immigration and border security. So it literally is flipping a switch. It's not about, well, we need constitutional amendments and everything else. A president could come into office, well, even Biden tomorrow could fix the entire problem if he wanted to.
If he wanted to. James, as always, it's a joy having you. James Carafano. Find him at heritage.org. It's really easy. Just Google it. You know, put the name in the search engine there. You'll find it easily. Jim, as always, I appreciate you joining us.
All right, thanks. And thanks for Denver, man.
You bet. Thank you very much. We appreciate it, sir.
High. And I don't, when I mean high, I mean like high altitude.
That's all right. No, you know. We get it.
Yeah, you know what I mean.
Thanks, right. Jim. Appreciate it very much. And let's do this. Michael Bailey, Law Mobile Estate Planning is next, and he wants to help you with all of your estate plans needs. I said earlier yesterday, whether it's even a living will, things along those lines, you need to make sure you have those things dialed in. So whether it's an estate plan, a living will, a living trust, whatever. Michael can help you with all those things. Find out exactly what you need for your situation. 720-394-6887.
There's always plenty of time until there isn't. KLZ's mobile estate planner, Michael Bailey, frequently gets phone calls from prospective clients the day before they undergo major surgeries because it suddenly occurs to them they might die someday. Meet with Michael Bailey now so he can write your will or trust and establish your medical and financial powers of attorney before you actually need them. KLZradio.com/estate.
Golden Eagle Financial, Al Smith, I say it all the time, I'm going to continue to say it. If you haven't heard from your financial advisor through all of this time in COVID, you know, whether it be an email, a phone call, anything at all, if you've had no contact at all, you need a new one. Call Al today and find out exactly what he can do for you. Find him on klzradio.com, 303-744-1128.
Before you make any decisions about specific strategies to collect your retirement funds, you need to picture yourself in retirement. Al Smith, founder of Golden Eagle Financial, meets with plenty of people who've never thought about how they will spend their retirement years. So he starts every consultation with an exercise in imagination. You probably have a plan bouncing around in your brain somewhere. Starting a business, traveling overseas, volunteering at your church, going on a mission trip, moving closer to family. Al will help you to envision, after decades of hard work, finally having enough time to do what you want. As you describe your future goals, Al will establish a realistic projection of what you'll need in retirement. Start planning early so most of your retirement income can be tax-free. Fill out the contact form at klzradio.com/money. Advisory services offered through Foundation Investment Advisors, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
It's time to leave your safe space. This is Rush to Reason on KLZ 560.
All right, we're back. Myself, Andy Pate, Charlie Grimes. We had a great caller that called in while we were talking to James there that really was getting to the brass tacks, Andy, of what some of these entry-level jobs are, what they're for, and what they do. And in a lot of cases, they help those that would not be able to find jobs elsewhere, have work, have value. You know, there's mentally handicapped individuals that can work at some of those
right.
jobs. And we can go down the line of individuals that can really get in there, get a stepping stone, and or it's a permanent place for them, and it gives them a sense of value that if we eliminate those things, those are no longer there for those individuals.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you talked about automation.
Mm-hmm.
The more you raise the minimum wage, the more you cut off the lowest
That's
rungs.
Right.
The That's lowest right. rungs on the ladder of success. When I was managing movie theaters, one thing that we would do is we would always have a couple developmentally mm-hmm. handicapped people on our staff. Now, if I had had to pay, certainly back then, $15 an hour, there's no way I could have hired them. They couldn't produce at the level needed.
Correct.
But it was fantastic. We always had a couple of them, and it was just wonderful. Not just, John, because they could make money and feel that sense of purpose, but it had them out with
right.
all the other people
That's right.
together with the camaraderie. Don't take that away.
Nope. Well done. Craig in Wheat Ridge, you're next, sir. What's going on?
Hi, John and Andy.
Hey, Craig.
How we doing?
Hey, I'm confused, this mask thing right now.
Well, that's why Kevin's coming on here in about a half an hour to maybe help straighten this out a little bit.
Well, I was shopping, as I often do, out here at the King Supers in Bennett.
Okay.
And, you know, being 30 miles east of Denver, it's always been a little looser, you know, outside of the People's Republic of Denver. You know, there were people shopping there, even though there was a mask mandate posted on this outside of the store. There's always been a few people, well, more than a few, that have been not wearing their masks.
Okay.
And I haven't seen any conflicts. I haven't seen anybody being told to leave the store because they're not wearing a mask. So, you know, we have the mask mandate kind of loosened, you know, by the announcement of the CDC and Joe Biden. So you would think things would loosen up a little bit more. Well, as of this morning, I may have been the only person in the store that didn't have a mask on.
Really?
So I'm like, no, wait a minute. This is like going backwards. I don't get it. I expected to see more people without a mask, and in reverse, I saw people more with masks.
Craig, that really surprises me. You're talking out in Bennett?
Yes.
Yeah, because in Bennett, Weird. What I had been hearing through the grapevine was that the Bennett King Supers basically didn't enforce it at all.
Say again, you kind of cut out?
What I'd been hearing through the grapevine is that the Bennett King Supers did not enforce it at all. I had heard that from a number of people.
Well, they're a non-union King Supers. I know that much about it. I don't know if that has anything to do with it.
Hmm.
I do know, though, that King Supers is a subsidiary of Kroger.
Correct.
And Kroger came out and said flat out, we are going to keep the mask mandate in place. However, a number of King Supers, Craig, including here in the metro area, are not following that edict, and they're not enforcing it. So with Kroger and King Supers right now, you have this interesting situation where you have a division in the corporation. Their higher-ups have said the mask mandate is in effect, and the lower-downs are split.
Dave Hart, by the way, just texted in from RoofMax and said that he's never worn a mask out at that King Supers, Craig, ever.
Well, I did just because, you know, as a courtesy to the posting on the
sure.
outside of the store.
Sure.
But as I saw more and more people not wearing them, I'm like, okay, I'm good with it. I'm going to do the same. But like I said, today it just looked like everything was thrown in reverse. And I don't get it.
Well, it's been very confusing. Again, why we're bringing Kevin on here in about a half an hour to really sort of, you know, give everybody some guidance on some of this. I've been, gosh, about seven places since Sunday and have only been told one, and I'm not going to throw them under the bus, so I won't say where, but I've only been told one time at one restaurant to wear a mask upon walking in, and frankly, I didn't have one with me. I'm like, well, if you want me to wear one, you have to provide one because I don't have one. And, of course, they did. And I was nice. I wasn't a jerk about it, but I'm kind of thinking to myself, you can go anywhere else you want to and not have to do this, so why am I? Anyway, it's a business choice. I get it. If that's what they choose to do, then we'll have to abide by that or eat somewhere else.
And then as a added comment, you're talking about servers, you know, the people that are really hustling out there because, you know, for whatever reason, people aren't wanting to go back to work, and the businesses that need servers, you know, what do they have or having to work twice as hard? We mm-hmm. ran into that at a little restaurant down in Southern Colorado this past weekend, and we had one waitress for probably the entire 10 or 12 tables that were in the facility.
That's a lot.
And she was doing all of them by herself, and then we talked to her a little bit. She said she's actually a realtor. She's helping out the people that own the business.
Wow.
To keep them staffed.
Wow. Amazing. Hats off to her, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we did tip her accordingly.
Awesome. Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, and again, those are some of the things that we're now going to have to start overcoming in the very, very near future. We cannot delay in this, folks. If we don't get some of these things geared back up, it will have the same effect upon the economy as shutting things down, because all it will do is drive everything up price-wise, because anybody that you have to hire in is going to want a higher wage. You're going to pay more for that. You're going to drive prices up, and it's going to even make inflation worse than it already is.
But I just spoke with my wife on the way home here, and she said we got a letter from President Biden saying that we were going to be the recipients of some more money under the rescue plan.
A lot of people will be getting that now. And it'll be an automatic deposit into your checking account, by the way.
Yeah, rewarding people with some more money that if they have found a way to be able to not work, it's only going to encourage it some more.
Yep. I agree. It's dumb.
This is ridiculous.
We don't need to be doing it.
Print up more money, make everything more expensive.
We don't need to be doing it.
No.
So, plain as that. Craig, as always, it's a joy talking to you. You always bring in some enlightenment. And again, Dave Hart was saying that out there in that Bennett area, he said the Tractor Supply out there, same way that when he's out in that area, he's not had to wear a mask at all. So that was an interesting comment from Craig.
Yeah, I was really surprised to hear that, because out in Bennett, they were barely wearing them. For them to go back the other way. And then again, maybe this was an isolated case.
Could have been.
Maybe he went in there at a time when you just had a lot of Karens in there.
Could be. Could be.
Let's hope.
I was at Home Depot last night. Again, won't say which one because I'm not trying to throw anybody under the bus. But I was probably the only person in the store without a mask on, but no one said anything.
And Home Depot just buckled, right?
I believe they came out today and said we're gonna,
drop the masks.
Yeah, we're gonna go the other way.
Yeah, but they came out initially and said we're going to enforce them anyway. Lowe said we're not, and so people were really bad mouthing Home Depot online. And they got in line.
The dumb thing about that, when it comes to the Home Depots of the world, the majority of their guys that are coming and going that are out on job sites aren't wearing them anyways.
No.
So why?
And by the way, if you have anybody come to your home, they'll wear the mask because they're told by their company.
Yeah, because they have to.
They don't want
First thing
to.
I say is, you don't need to wear that around me. Take that stupid thing off, would you?
Yep, that's
you know what
I
most
say.
Of them do? Oh, thanks.
Oh, they're thrilled.
Yeah, they're happy as all get out.
Yep.
So, Home Depot updated its, I've got it right here in front of me, I'll go do this really quick, updated its mask policy on Monday so that fully vaccinated customers and associates are not required to wear masks in stores, except where mandated by state or local ordinances. Masks are still encouraged by those who are not fully vaccinated and will keep safety measures in place like enhanced cleaning and social distancing, the company said in a statement. So we'll come right back. American National Insurance is up next. Paul Lumberger, my agent. Make sure you're properly insured today. We've got a lot of things going on now with weather and hail and your car and your house and so on. Make sure you've got the right insurance so you're not caught off guard. 303-662-0789.
Paul Lumberger with American National Insurance offers a rebate program unlike any other. Every year that you don't file a claim, you get a certain percentage of your money back. Just one example of how Paul Leuenberger, the personal insurance agent of John Rush, keeps your rates so low. He rewards his customers for their diligence and responsibility. Paul can also help you strategize about when to file a claim and when to pay out of pocket so you save more money in the long run. You don't want to shop online for insurance because you have no idea what you're buying. You need Paul Leuenberger with American National, the no surprises insurance agent. Call 303-662-0789. That's 303-662-0789 and ask Paul Leuenberger with American National Insurance for details about his unique rebate program for home and auto insurance. Talk to somebody with the expertise to advise you so you get the coverage you expect.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
All right, by the way, one other group that said they are not going to drop the masks, in other words, you were still required to wear them, is the Simon Property Group, which has shopping centers and malls in 38 states, or 37 states and Puerto Rico. By the way, Simon, you guys are already struggling in the mall industry as it is. Are you really that stupid? Evidently you are.
Oh, yeah.
You are just morons.
Let's hurt our business at malls because they're doing so well.
What a bunch of idiots.
Idiots.
Sorry, they are. Simon, if you go broke, it's your own fault. And I said that here publicly.
Yeah, I just feel bad for everybody relying on
I do too, it. But you know what? That's stupid management right there. Franktown Firearms, by the way, will be with us in this next hour as well. I'll talk about them a little more. And we'll be right back. We got another full hour coming your way. For listening to our replay hour at 7 o'clock, thank you so much. We do appreciate it. We'll be back tomorrow for health and wellness. Otherwise, hour two is next. Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560.